Well, good morning. It is good to see everybody there. Much cooler last night, right? We have nothing to complain about today. It's only going to be 70 degrees, okay? So, summer is here. Just a note, we will be, well, not a note. Anyway, today we're going to finish up our series and what we've been talking about in Truth Over Trend. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how the truth of God's Word really supersedes any trend, any culture, political ideal, anything. It transcends that and it overrides that. And we've just been looking at some different areas of truth. And today we're going to finish up with that and talk about the truth of our ambassadorship, the truth in reconciliation. And you and I, as believers, have been called to an incredible ministry. An incredible ministry. And it's a ministry that isn't just for people who are in ministry. It is a ministry that you and I, as believers in Christ, as people who have put their faith in Christ, have been called to, we've been commanded to, we've been commissioned to. So in other words, what's that mean? That's what we do, right? We are ambassadors. And so today I want to take a look at that, just being the ambassadors of reconciliation and what that means. And we looked at, so we're ambassadors to the truth. And we looked at being messengers of the truth a few weeks ago in that great commission where you go out into all the world and preach the gospel. So we looked at that. Being a messenger of truth and an ambassador of truth are different things. Okay. Now, realizing that being a messenger, you know, being an ambassador, you are also a messenger. But being an ambassador means so much more than just being a messenger. A messenger is one who proclaims a message. In our life, our message is, you know, in our Christian life, our message is what? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection. And that, you know, when we put our faith in him for the forgiveness of our sins, then he gives us that eternal life. It's that good news of eternal life by faith in him. Well, an ambassador is more than just a messenger. An ambassador is more than just an ambassador is one who represents the object. We as the United States, we have ambassadors to different countries. In the government, a U.S. government's ambassador is the president's highest ranking representative to a specific country. They're a spokesperson for the United States to the nation in which they are an ambassador to. So as well as being a spokesperson to the United States on behalf of the other nation, they are skilled in negotiation and have a patient tenacity to accomplish their nation's goals through a spirit of reconciliation. So the idea is that we have ambassadors in different countries and their goal is to represent the United States, and their goal is to represent the United States in areas where there needs to be reconciliations, where there could be a disagreement or something, or, you know, one nation is an enemy to another nation. You have an ambassador whose goal is to reconcile the disagreements, to reconcile those conflicts. As a believer, we represent what? We represent the Lord. We represent the object of truth, which is the Lord. We're ambassadors to God, and we're his representatives to this nation. Okay? And I'm not talking about, well, to the nation of the United States, although that's encompassed in that. Okay? We are his representatives in the United States, but we're representatives of him in the world. In the world, which, yes, includes the United States, it includes our community, our county, our state, whatever it is, we are ambassadors to this area, to where we are. We are spokespeople of the church as well, you know, other believers. We are a spokesperson, so keep that in mind as we represent the truth that we're not just representing ourselves, we're not just representing the Lord, but we are representing the church, you know, for us here specifically, Mackey Community Church. So when our lives as an ambassador for truth, our lives represent truth, which means that our lives should be lived in what? In truth. Our lives represent truth, which means that our lives we live in that. So our commitment to truth is above anything else, whether it's trend or culture or, you know, political party that we may belong to or may not belong to, the current ideals that are out there, and there's a lot of them, isn't there? Always wanting to go back to truth, the truth of God's word. So in our lives as ambassadors for truth, you know, reconciliation for the world is our priority. As an ambassador of the Lord, to see the world, to see other people reconciled to God is our priority. You know, one of the ambassador's responsibilities is to see that others in their nation be reconciled. So we want to see that reconciliation from our nation to other nations. That reconciliation. Why do we need to be reconciled? You know, what is the idea of being reconciled? Well, it means that if two parties have to be reconciled, it means that they're what? They're in disagreement. They're in disagreement that one side is an enemy of the other side. You know, keep that in mind. So today we're going to be looking at reconciliation, the reconciliation between man and between God. And why do we need that reconciliation? Because humanity, in its sin, is enemies with God. And so there has to be reconciliation. God is the object of that reconciliation. It's one of those words that in the Christian world has really become a theological word. You know, when we talk about the doctrine of reconciliation or the theology of reconciliation, it is, however, much more than that. It is the basis for our relationship with God. It is the basis on how you and I, as sinful man, as humanity, can have a relationship with the Most High Righteous God. Must be reconciliation there. It is what we as believers are. We are reconciled. When we put our faith in Christ for eternal life, we become reconciled to God. We become no longer enemies, but we become family. So if you have your Bibles with me today, and you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read through these verses, and we're going to look at verses 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is a verse about who we are in Christ. This is a verse about who we are in Christ. And how amazing it is to see what Jesus has made us simply by faith in him. He's made us a new creation. He's made us a new creature in him, with a new life in him, freed from the bondage of sin. He put us on God's side in him. Once being enemies, no longer, we're on his side in him. We have been made acceptable in the sight of God. It's really an incredible transformation when you think about it. When you think about those verses and just the implication that has on you as a believer and the transformation that took place in you when you put your faith in Christ, it's incredible. It's incredible to think about that, the miraculous transformation that is. You know, from being from the old self of sin and death, and we are transformed into a new creation, into new life. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. It should excite us. So, and he made us ambassadors to himself, because this is the transformation of our lives. We are called to be his ambassadors of truth. We have the truth, don't we? We can be confident that we have the truth. In the gospel message, we have the truth. In the word of God, we have the truth. And it's not just to proclaim the message of truth, but it's to represent the message of truth. There's a difference there. We can proclaim truth, but are we in our lives reflecting a life that is representing the truth? We see a couple of truths here about reconciliation. First, we see the blessings of reconciliation, and we see the responsibility of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a phenomenon, isn't it? It's a phenomenon. That's an interesting word. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, work for me here. See, Al, what'd I tell you? All right, there we go. Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That is a great statement, isn't it? That is a great statement. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. For us, it's kind of incomprehensible when you think about it. If you sat down with this verse and just read it and really meditated upon it, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Those in Christ are a new creation. That moment that we put our faith in Him, the moment that we believe in Christ, we become a new creation. Everything's brand new. Yeah, we're going to still have these bodies, and, you know, depending on how old you were or how old you are when you put your faith in Christ, you know, it's probably not going to make me any healthier, okay? But the fact of the matter is, my spirit is a new creation. It's a new creation. The Lord didn't just adjust a few areas in our lives. He just didn't adjust some different things in our lives that needed some attention, but He made us new in Him. We became new in Christ, and the former things are passed away, and all things have become new. That idea of being born again, that's where that idea of being born again. God, you know, the Lord says that when you put your faith in Christ, you are born again. You are a new creation, a new creature. The very essence of our being has been transformed in Christ. So those born in sin, being dead to God, are made alive in Christ. Those separated from God now enjoy a fellowship with the Lord. Enjoy a relationship with the Lord. Those once dominated by sin, living only to please the flesh, now seek a life of righteousness in Christ. Those once condemned in sin, now facing that penalty of eternal death, are given eternal life because of that faith in Christ, because of that new creation, Him creating you new. You know, think about what it is to be reconciled to God, to become a new creation. Once enemies, faith in Christ, reconciled to God, no longer enemies with God. He is the source of our reconciliation. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, there's a need there. Let's look at our need. Let's look at humanity's need for reconciliation. We're all born in sin, separated from God. Hopeless to do anything about our situation, nothing that you and I in and of ourselves can do to keep us from being separated from God because of our sin. Humanity stood in need of one able to rescue them. We needed somebody to rescue us from sin and reconcile us to a holy and righteous God. That is who God is, holy and righteous. And we needed somebody to rescue us so that we could have a relationship, so that we could have fellowship with this holy and righteous God. God Himself, through the incarnation and the sacrifice of Christ, okay, stood as that mediator. He stood as the one to rescue, you know, to be our personal provider of redemption and reconciliation. God is the source of reconciliation. You know, all things are of God. You know, He's reconciled us to Himself by Christ. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe and all who inhabit the earth. He created mankind in His own image, choosing to do so in order that you and I, that people, that Adam and Eve, when they were created, would worship Him and enjoy fellowship with Him. So He created them in His image so that they could have that fellowship, so that we could have that fellowship. God also knew, though, in that creating, in creating Adam and Eve, He knew what was going to happen in His sovereignty, you know, prior to creating them. And the human race, He knew that mankind would fall in sin and need redemption. He knew that that this would require a perfect sacrifice. When mankind fell to sin, it would need a perfect sacrifice to atone for that sin. And he alone would be able to provide that. Him alone would be able to. We're reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Christ, through the sacrifice of Jesus. In the midst of our dilemma, in the midst of our hopelessness, God provided a sacrifice necessary to atone for our sin and to reconcile us to himself. So we are reconciled to him. He is not reconciled to us. He did not need to be reconciled to us. We are reconciled to him. See, here's the thing about reconciliation, is that the object of reconciliation is what needs to be reconciled to. You know, even using two different countries who are in disagreement with each other and saying, well, you know, they need to be reconciled. When we think of that, what do we think of? Well, a couple of things. We can think of compromise. Here, these two countries need to compromise and come together and figure this out and, you know, be nice to each other. Or we think of, well, this country has more of the heavy artillery, so this country really has to be reconciled to this country. Okay? Yeah, maybe a little more comparable there. We need to be reconciled to God because God is perfectly righteous. He is the source of reconciliation. He is the object of reconciliation. He has the authority to be the object of reconciliation because, one, he created us. Two, he is most high righteous with no unrighteousness in him. So, yes, it is that we right here need to be reconciled to him. He does not need to be reconciled to us. We need to be reconciled to him. We are reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Christ, aren't we? You know, in the midst of our dilemma, he came and he sacrificed Christ for us. So God is the source for reconciliation in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Through Christ, we can be reconciled to God. Well, there's a sovereign plan in reconciliation that we can follow and that we can see. Okay, verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We need to remember that the holy and righteous nature of God cannot have anything to do with sin. It cannot fellowship with sin. It cannot. He cannot have a relationship with sin. So those who enter into a relationship with God need to be what? They need to be righteous. In fact, they need to be as righteous as God is. Who is able to achieve that this week? Who is able to achieve this week the righteousness of God? I was. I know that's bold. You guys are thinking, okay, there's the door, Mike. Don't let it hit you on the way out, right? I achieved the righteousness of God. Why? Because it wasn't me achieving it. It was Christ in me achieving that righteousness of God. Okay? Not me. Not in and of itself. Not any action that I did this week. Did it get me any more righteous than I was yesterday? But that moment that I put my faith in Christ made me the righteousness that God requires for me to have a relationship with him, for me to have fellowship with him. There's a major problem for mankind. And due to the fall of Adam, we were born in sin, weren't we? We were born in sin. We were deficient. We did not have the righteousness of God that God demands. We had no way of earning that righteousness. Nothing I could do. Not the most awesome and biggest sacrifice. Okay? Not me going out and washing everybody's car. It's that time of year. You know? I couldn't achieve it, so I'm not going to do it. Okay? I couldn't achieve that righteousness. No good work in and of myself could achieve that righteousness that God demands. We had no way of earning that righteousness necessary to have fellowship with God. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, we discovered this amazing aspect of our reconciliation, that God alone is holy and righteous. God was in Christ reconciling the world, not counting their trespasses against us. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God's righteousness, you see in that. His righteous nature is offended by sin. We were talking this morning in the Sunday morning Bible study about his jealousness and how he cannot condone sin. He does not condone sin. His righteous nature is offended by sin. And so he's offended by that. He's jealous of that. Not jealous in the way that you and I think of jealousy, but he's zealous. He's very zealous against sin because he's offended by it. We discover that God is the righteous one offended by sin, but in his grace and in his mercy. Here you have a God who is jealous, who's zealous against sin. Okay? Who takes vengeance against sin. And yet in the same God, there's grace and mercy. There's grace and mercy. God chose to provide the solution for our dilemma. He chose to provide a solution for our sin that separates him from us in his righteousness. He chose to send Christ to this world, born of a virgin, free of sin, to die on a cross as a ransom for yours and my sin. As a way to pay the ransom for our sin, to deal with our sin. So in providing the perfect, acceptable sacrifice for sin, God chooses to transfer our sin, okay, for the righteousness of his Son. For those who trust in him, for those who put their faith in him, for that forgiveness of sin, to deal with our sin. God could have condemned us to a Christless eternity. That's what mankind deserved. That's what humanity deserved. And I know sometimes I sit back and think, oh, you know, that's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. Well, it can sound harsh, and it can be harsh, but the truth is still the truth, isn't it? Now, that doesn't mean that I go out and tell you, you know, your hair looks nice or whatever, and it really doesn't. I'm not, you know, that's not the truth we're talking about. But the harshness of this truth is this, is that God, in his justice, could have said, you know what? I'm done with this nonsense. Adam and Eve, you're done. But no, he chose this mercy and grace and said, I'm going to provide a redeemer. I am going to provide a Messiah because I want them to be reconciled to me. Did he need to be reconciled to us? No, he didn't. But we needed to be reconciled to him so that we could have that relationship with him, so that we could have that fellowship with him. We were guilty and deserving of that eternal separation, that eternal death. But instead, he chose to redeem and reconcile us to himself through the Lord, through Jesus. He places the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of his perfect Son, the righteousness of himself, he placed that righteousness of Christ on us. Receiving believers, those who put their faith in him, receiving them by grace, so we can stand. I stand righteous before God. Who had the righteousness of God this last week? How's that? That's good. Okay? Amen. You know? We did have the righteousness of God this last week because we, but if you put your faith in Christ, then we had Christ's righteousness in us. In us. That is God's plan for reconciliation. Who could come up with that on their own, right? You know what, though? People have tried to come up with that on their own, huh? They have tried to figure out ways, how can I be reconciled to God without God's plan of reconciliation? Forget that, okay? Oh, I know how I can do it. Work my tail off, right? All these requirements that we have to do that they put on people, you know, you see it everywhere, don't you? You see it everywhere. That, well, you cannot really be saved until you've done this, 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 and this, and this. Because I want it to be my plan, not God's plan. God's plan for reconciliation is faith alone in Christ alone. That's his plan. And all mankind needs to be reconciled to the highest authority the one who we need to be reconciled to, the Lord God. Well, we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. You and I have been given a ministry of reconciliation. And like I said earlier, you know, ministry doesn't mean, well, you go to school and you get your degree in biblical theology, then you get your master's degree in Greek parsing and all this other stuff, and then you can go into ministry. It's not how it works. You and I are called to ministry. Whether you've been to Bible school or not, you have been called to ministry. You have been commanded to ministry. You have been commissioned to ministry. Verse 18. So now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at who has the calling of reconciliation. God's the author of it. You know, he's the one who came up with the plan of reconciliation. He's the source of reconciliation, in that we have to be reconciled to him. But he has called us to be the ministers of it. He has called us to be the ones to represent that reconciliation to others. The one who tells others about it, and not just tell others about it, but actually live it out in their lives every day, every moment. Because we're ambassadors to that. We're not just the messengers of that. We are ambassadors to reconciliation. We are ambassadors to that. We are responsible for the ministry of reconciliation. It doesn't imply that we're able to reconcile. Because you and I are not able to reconcile anybody to God, are we? Because then all of a sudden it becomes my plan. So we can't reconcile anybody to God, but he has given us that ministry. We have been reconciled to him, and he alone has the ability and the authority to reconcile. So what exactly is this statement referring to? Being ministers of reconciliation. You know, many think that it's referring primarily to, you know, maybe Paul and the other apostles, or even, you know, pastors or missionaries. They have the ministry of reconciliation. You know, if I want to have the ministry of reconciliation, then I have to go to the deepest, darkest jungles, you know, to do that. But it's not referring to them. It is referring to them to a degree, okay, but it's referring to all believers. It's referring to those of us who by faith have put our trust in Christ for salvation, for eternal life. The implication here is that our lives are to be more than just messengers. We're to be more than just messengers, but our lives are to be invested in the truth of reconciliation. It's to be part of who we are. It is to be who we are. Those who are called and who are in Christ are to live a surrendered life to the Lord, seeking to know him and to make him known. We're to live in such a way that others will notice the transformation, that new creation that he has given to us, that he has put into our hearts, that he's put into our lives. You know, as we show our lives that are reconciled to God, you know, people who need that reconciliation will see that. They'll see that in our lives. Because it's who we are. We're to tell the goodness of the grace of God in our lives. We're to tell others about that we are reconciled to him and what it means to us. We've been commissioned to live a reconciled life. Back to verse 19, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Living a life that is in Christ is not the only requirement here. Okay? It is a requirement that we live a life that's in Christ, but we also have been committed to the word of reconciliation. And that word of reconciliation is what? It's the words of reconciliation. It's us communicating, not just in our lifestyle, not just in who we are, not just in our day-to-day lives, but it's also communicating that word of reconciliation, communicating the message. We're entrusted with the good news of the gospel, aren't we? We saw this a couple weeks ago about us being the messengers of the gospel. And going into all the world. As we live our lives among those in need of reconciliation, we need to also be willing to share that gospel with them. Share the good news that by faith, they can have eternal life. By faith in Christ, they can have eternal life, the same eternal life that we have. You know, having a good testimony among others is essential. But you know what? We need to verbalize the gospel to them. We need to tell them about Jesus. We need to tell them about the sacrifice that he made on the cross so that we could be redeemed, so that he could be our Messiah, our personal Messiah, so that we could be reconciled to God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Is that good news? That's good news. We should be telling people about that good news. Romans 10:14 says, "How will they hear? Or how will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher?" Kind of a reverse order of questions there. Okay, how are they going to hear without a preacher? Not talking about Preacher Mike here. Okay, talking about Preacher you. How are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? Unless somebody who is a believer, who has this faith, how are they going to hear without them telling them about it? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? It should be our desire to be ambassadors of reconciliation, shouldn't it? Should be our desire to go out there and show others how they can be reconciled to the same Savior that we are reconciled to. That they can be reconciled to the same God who loves us, who wants us to be a part of his family. No longer enemies, but part of his beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Are we out there begging people to be reconciled to God? Are we out there, you know, as we gather with people and we know that they're not believers, that they haven't put their faith in Christ, are we begging them to be reconciled to God? I'm not saying that, and maybe I am, I don't know. Getting on your hands and knees, please, in these last times, in these days that we're in, you want to have peace, be reconciled to God. You have questions? You have concerns about your future? Be reconciled to God. I don't know what that begging looks like for you. I don't know what it looks like for me. But begging, I beg, as we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Believers serve as ambassadors for him. We represent the interests of the sovereign that we serve, don't we? We proclaim the message of the King. We don't seek glory or recognition for ourselves. But we seek to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ as ambassadors for Christ. We are to proclaim the gospel of his work to redeem the reconciled and humanity, urging those that have not put their faith in Christ to put their faith in Christ, don't we? That's what we do. That's what we're doing. The truth about reconciliation is this. That scared you, didn't it? Obviously, we're having some issues, but maybe this will fix it. Here's the truth about reconciliation, all right? 2 Corinthians 5:20. I know, it's not your fault, Micah. I don't know what's going on. Okay, the truth about reconciliation, I'll talk loud here, all right? Sorry for those who are napping. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Okay? It's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. You can probably turn me down a little bit, Micah. I don't want to seem like I'm yelling. It is how God reconciled us to himself. How God, a holy, righteous God, made it possible for us who were his enemies to become part of his beloved family. Think of that transaction there. Think of that change, that new creation, you know, where we are dead in our sins. We are enemies to God. And he calls us his enemies. And then how by faith He made it possible because of reconciliation for us who were His enemies, who were dead in our sins, to become part of His beloved family. That is transformation. That is being reconciled. That is the ultimate reconciliation, isn't it? You just kind of have to stand in awe and wonder of it. Of the love and the grace that God bestowed on us, an undeserving sinner. You know, how is it all possible? How can one dead in sin be raised in the newness of life, being made acceptable to God? How can one separated and condemned in sin now enjoy fellowship with God? Where there was no relationship, where there was no fellowship, there's now fellowship and relationship. And the very answer to that is embedded in this verse, isn't it? It is right there in that verse. How God placed the sin of the world, yours and mine included in this. He placed the sin of the world on the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't He? As Christ hung between heaven and earth on the cross there, He bore our sin. And God in His holiness had to judge that sin, didn't He? He had to judge our sin. He had to judge sin. And He judged our sin in the body of Christ. He judged our sin in His precious, sinless Son, the one who knew no sin. Christ was sinless. Jesus was sinless. He was perfect in every way. You want to see the example of the perfect human being? That was Him. No sin. He was a perfect human. And yet God placed all of our sin on Him, and He became sin for us so that we could stand before God, before a holy God free of sin. So that we could stand before Him in the righteousness that He required. In the righteousness that only could be in His presence. He put that sin on Christ so that we could stand in that righteousness. We were the guilty. We're almost done here. We were the guilty. We deserved death on the cross. And we deserved to endure the righteous judgment and wrath that God poured out upon sin. But we didn't have to, did we? What? This one? Okay. Okay. Is that better? All right. We'll hang that one up. Anyway, Christ took our place on the cross. He took our place on the cross, and He stood in our place bearing that wrath of God. And we now have eternal life in Him because of His sacrifice on the cross, because He willingly laid down His life to atone for our sin. You know, what a Savior that we have the privilege to serve.
Is that better?
All right. Can you hear me now? All right. What a privilege we have to serve this Savior. Do you see that privilege? What a privilege we have to be what? Called His ambassadors. Okay, we're not just, you know, He's not just saying, well, you know, you're believers and we're good. You know, you've been reconciled and I'll take care of the rest. He's saying that you are so important to Me that I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you a relationship with Me. I'm going to give you fellowship with Me. I'm going to give you the privilege of taking the message to other people. But He puts so much trust in us that He says, not only that, I'm going to make you an ambassador. You are going to become My representative. Now, I think of that and I think, boy, you could have found somebody a little better than me. You know, it wouldn't have taken much. I remember here, you know, 7-8 years ago, somebody came and asked, hey, can you coach baseball? Do I look like a baseball coach? No. They got to the bottom of that barrel, okay, and they found no one to coach baseball. So what did they do? They tipped the barrel over, and there's that rim under that barrel that's about that, you know, and that's where they found me, under there. Well, do you ever feel like that? Okay, God said, you're an ambassador. You're My representative. It's like he obviously got to the bottom of the barrel and tipped it over, right? It's like, no. He says, you are My messenger. You are My ambassador. You are going to represent My truth. You are going to represent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. You're going to live it. You're going to live it. We are ambassadors of the truth. That is the calling that you and I have. That is the ministry that we have been given the privilege to be a part of. So as we conclude this series of truth over trend today, you know, we see truth over politics. We see truth over culture. I want to challenge us to be ones to change the world. It's graduation time, right? Every speech you heard at graduation, if you went to any or watched any on YouTube, they talked about what? We are going to be the generation to change the world, right? Are you going to be the generation to change the world? Well, not in and of yourselves, you're not. You're not going to change the world by some of your viewpoints. You're going to change the world by how? You're going to change the world by going out and being ministers of reconciliation. Reconciling a world that needs Christ so that they can have that transformation. Do we want to see these seats filled? Yeah. We do want to see these seats filled. I want to challenge us to be ones to change the world. It's our ministry of reconciliation that's going to fill this building up, isn't it? As we go out and we tell others about Christ and the reconciliation that they can. You know, and you know, when was the last time you invited somebody to sit in the seat next to you? And then once they sit there, we want to keep them there, don't we? We want to keep them there. Let us be that church that loves others, that makes others and feel comfortable with seeking the things of the Lord. I read this morning on Facebook, somebody had posted a little something. It says, just don't invite people to church. Invite them to lunch. Invite them to your home. Invite them into your heart. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're there for them. You are the church, not a building. You want people to be part of the church? Start with seeing yourself as being part of the church, seeing yourself as being an ambassador of truth. You know, take this call of being the ambassadorship, you know, seriously. It's going to change the world. And if it doesn't change the entire world, what's it going to at least change? This community, isn't it? It may even change you a little bit, huh? Change me a little bit. Hopefully a lot, right? Change the world. Ambassadors of truth. Let's pray. Lord, it just amazes me how you have given us that responsibility of the ministry of reconciliation, Lord. In and of myself, I just don't see myself doing that, Lord. But in the power of your Holy Spirit, when it is not I but you, you've given us that responsibility. Lord, I pray that as we go out, that we would just continue to be those ambassadors, Lord, that the life that we live is a life of truth, a life that is based on your word, a life that is reflecting Christ in me and the hope that I have in glory, Lord. That wouldn't be just the message that I give, but that my life would reflect that. Amen.